that. That was really good. And yeah. Also, before I forget, I want to thank all of you that came out when we did all these Christmas decorations. Was that last week? Yes, that was last week. That was an all-day event. But it was all right. It was good. So that was good fellowship, but thank you guys for coming in and showing up for the decorating. It doesn't just happen. It has to happen through people. But, well, if you have your Bibles, we're going to be in Exodus chapter 34 for a few moments. Talk about Moses here for a minute. I'm just going to read something here so we can kind of grasp it for a minute, and then we're going to go into 2 Corinthians for that's where we're going to be. But I want this little story to be part of what we this little prelude here, what we need to understand. It says in Exodus chapter 34, when Moses came down from Mount Sinai with the two tablets, the testimony in his hands, he was not aware that his face was radiant because he had spoken with the Lord. Verse 33 says, when Moses finished speaking to them, he put a veil over his face. Verse 35, they saw that his face was radiant. Father, as we move into this part, worship, Lord, through your word, we just pray, Father, your spirit would speak to us, our hearts would be open. We ask this in Christ's name. Amen. So I want to share with you a little bit about what's on my heart from time to time. In my heart, I have 10 different things spinning in my head at once. But there is a part that does bother me a little bit as, not really just as a pastor, but as a believer. It is that there are so many people that claim, and I'm not making judgment on them, because that's the God, that's God's business, who is saved and who is not. But I want to tell you that it's very scary when you really start thinking about people who claim to be a Christian who do not find themselves in worship at all. Now, there are prodigal children, I understand that. But some just refuse because they have their own idea what they feel, what the Bible means, their opinion on what the Bible means. And it's a very scary piece to think you're saved and you're not. Because if you think you're saved and you're not, you become the biggest fool in the world. You believe your own lie. I want to share with you today. Now we're going to the 2 Corinthians. Here's where I want to be today in chapter 3. There's a part here, as you can turn there, there's a part here. And I'm going to use this piece today. I'm not going to put it on, but this is like a veil, what this is. So in Exodus, we see that God, the previous chapter, 33, we see where Moses wanted to see God, but couldn't see God. But if he can get to these two mountains, and he can see the backside of God, and God would speak to Moses, and he gets those tablets, and he's coming down there, and something's different about him. He didn't know he was different, but he looked different. And the Bible says that his face was radiant, and it shined really bright, and he had to put one of these veils on. Because it was too bright for people. And it was like the glory of God shining off of Moses. And now Christ has come and has did his part. And now man is preaching God's word. And we see here in chapter 3, Paul is explaining here the glory of the new covenant. I'm going to read some scripture here, and we're going to work through it. Now, if the ministry, in verse 7, now if the ministry that brought death, which was engraved in letters on stone, came with glory, so that the Israelites could not look steadily at the face of Moses because of its glory, fading though it was, will not the ministry of the Spirit be even more glorious? If the ministry that condemns man is glorious, how much more glorious is the ministry that brings righteousness? For what was glorious has no glory now in comparison with the surpassing glory. And if that was fading away came with glory, how much greater is the glory of which lasts? Be a little complicated there. But in simple terms, salvation is the everlasting glory. You see, the law came, the Ten Commandments came, those things, all that. That was to give man a conscious understanding there are rights and wrongs, and man just couldn't go by it, even though it was glorious. It couldn't go by it. Jesus comes. And that is even more glorious. Now here's what I want to explain to you. You see, the veil was put across Moses' face because they couldn't take it. They couldn't take it. They couldn't take the glory of God just shining off of man. There was a time that it faded away. But he had to put it on. He had to put this thing on. Verse 12, therefore, since we have such a hope, we are very bold, Paul says. We are not like Moses who put a veil over his face to keep the Israelites from gazing at it while the radiance was fading away, but their minds were made dull, for to this day the same veil remains when the old covenant is read. Basically, if you people are trying, now the Israelites were trying to go by this law, that was going to get, and so this veil was covering, it couldn't get to where they wanted to. So if they try to go by the law, the veil covers it. Let me put it in terms for you and I today. Let me bring it down here for a second. This is what it's like. If you are not saved, this is what it's like. It's like sticking that in front of God and you. You're separated. You can't see it. You can't see Him. You're not allowed to see Him. You receive some of His blessings because the rain falls on the just and the unjust. There's some blessings that God just gives to mankind. But if you are lost, there is a veil in front of you. There's a veil that sticks in front of you. Now I see all your faces, but I don't see Amber, and Amber don't see me. There's a veil that sticks in front of all of us. It's stuck in front of all of us at one time. Because it's a separation of God's glory and God's holiness and God's perfection. And when we're sinful, there's got to be a separation between God's glory and our sinful self. So He sticks it, so it's there. And when we have that in our life, we have that. What it is we're doing life the best that we can, separated from God. We're trying to do life the best that we can. And when we're trying to do life the best that we can, it's not going to work if we don't have God. Just not. This is why you see so much. This is why you see so much in the news today. There's a veil in front of them. Lost people are trying to talk about God and don't know anything about God. One of the most dangerous things for you to do at Christmas time is to pick up some of these magazines that tells you on the rack what Christmas is and who Jesus was and who Jesus and Mary was and who Jesus and Mary Magdalene was and all this stuff. It's a bunch of hogwash. Go to your Bible. There's a separation because they don't understand the Bible. So they have to do their own thing. But what is amazing about this piece, it says, so, and then it says, It has not been removed. It's not been removed. It can't be removed. But only in Christ is it taken away. So if you have, and so when the veil is in front of you, listen, you can't get to heaven on your own thoughts and your own ways and your own ideas about what heaven is. You can't. A person can't. That's why you got to have preachers. That's why you got to have evangelists. That's why you got to share the gospel. You just have to. Because people, the veil is there and it's not moving. Is not going to go away. It always sticks up there unless, what's the scripture say? Because only in Christ is it taken away. Only in Christ is it taken away. Even to this day when Moses is read, a veil covers their hearts. He says, if we go, want to go back to the... Now listen, you can learn a lot of stuff. I am not saying that reading the Old Testament is wrong. No, Leviticus is very interesting and there's a lot of good stuff in there. And even those things that they weren't allowed to eat then, actually, if you go back and look at it, they're very unhealthy today. But if we make that our guideline and we make that how we're going to get to heaven and how we're going to be right with God, that what it says is the veil comes right up on it, and there's a veil between them and God. Because what they've done, what they've done is they said the law trumps Jesus. No. Even to this day, when Moses is read, a veil covers their hearts. It's right over their hearts. But whenever anyone turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. So if the veil is up, and as a non-believer, the only way that it's taken away is through Jesus Christ. That's it. Not by church membership. Not because mom and dad were great Christians. Not because your family members are great Christians. Not because you come to church every Sunday. It's not because you know some songs. It's not because you got some scriptures. It is only through Jesus Christ. And I'm very concerned about people, more and more people today, because the Bible does say you'll know them by their fruits. But it's that many people think they have this relationship with Christ and they have a relationship with all the parts about it, but they don't know the individual Jesus Christ. Listen, let me give you some pointers here. If you are a person who is a believer in Christ, listen, or you're a person who says you're a believer in Christ, if you go around and you can't stand people, I'm not saying you're not a Christian, but that's not the Spirit of God. You can't harbor hate and bitterness and racism and all those things. There's a problem. Now, people can be saved and can be rebelling against God, but there's got to be some conviction. And the Holy Spirit convicts. If you have no problem, a person has no problem being I'm just telling you, when you come to Christ, you become a new creation, the Bible says. The old is gone and the new has come. It should be a brand new you. A brand new you. But the veil is there in front of so many people. So many people. And the only way that it gets taken away and falls down is by Jesus Christ. One coming to Jesus Christ. That's why when Christ was upon the cross that we see the veil was torn. Behind the Holy of Holies, the veil split down. It was torn. That's gone. Who did that? God, Jesus. Now we don't have to go behind a veil to find God. We don't have to send one person in to talk to God about our stuff. That now that we can go to Christ directly. The veil has been taken down that we can go to Him directly. And he says in verse 17, Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Listen, if you want to be free in all this junk you might have in your life, the only way to get free from it is coming to Christ, coming and talking with Christ. Let the veil come down and let Christ do a work on you. If not, the veil is still in there, and God's not coming in that behind that veil. You've not let Him in yet. That veil is still in front of you. There is a wall that's in front between you and Him. And the Bible says that there's going to be a day when He's going to put the sheep to His right. He's going to put the goats to his left. There's a whole piece there, those who are saved, who are non-saved. And it'd be all about that veil. It's all about that veil. Those who are separated from him and those who know him. And we need to make sure that we know him, that he has access to our life. But that's not the only thing. Once that veil comes down, what's it say? It says here, and in verse 18, and we who with unveiled faces, now we have talked to God. We ask Christ into our life. We've had that conversation. We don't have to put a veil around our face to hide the radiance of the Spirit, of Jesus, of the Lord. We don't have to hide that. It's supposed to shine. It's supposed to shine now because we're different. He says, and we, with unveiled faces, all reflect the Lord's glory. Now, there's some of us here that don't want to talk about righteousness. We don't want to think that we're called to be righteous. The Bible says we're called to be righteous. We still mess up, but we're called to be right. The Lord's glory is supposed to shine off of us. I'm not saying that. The Scripture's saying that. So that makes me have to say, listen, I need to watch how I act. I need to watch what I do. I need to watch what I say. The Lord's glory is supposed to shine off of us. He says, reflect the Lord's glory. Are being transformed into the likeness and ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord who is the Spirit. So when it's all said and done, we're out of this world, we're into the glory of God. It's not going to be like that. We don't know anything. The glory should have been shining through us off of our faces and our lives as we live here on this earth. God may have found you in the gutter, but you don't need to stay in the gutter. God may have found you in a place of darkness and sinful lifestyle, but you don't stay there. You understand? We don't stay there. We don't stay there. And don't tell me, and I say this in love, don't tell me that you are different than everybody else. You're not more special than anybody else. I'm not more special than anybody else. Jesus came so that all might be saved. Jesus came because the Bible says that God so loved the world. It's love. It's not because you're special or I'm special. He sees that we're all special enough that he loves us and that he calls us to salvation through his son Jesus Christ into the family of God. And we struggle with that because we have sinful thoughts in our minds that tells us this lifestyle is okay for me. Or what I do over here may not be right for others, but it's okay for me. Or I look at these scriptures different. Listen, don't look at one scripture. It's the whole Word of God. It's the whole Word of God. And the scriptures do not violate one another. They do not contradict one another. They fit perfectly together. Because it comes from God. God is perfect. God is holy. God is awesome. And we are blessed. And we are blessed enough that we are really, truthfully undeserving to even have God's word, but he gives it to us. But he says his glory should be radiant. As Moses walked down that mountain and people saw the difference in him, conversating with God, they saw it, that they couldn't take it. We should be walking around in this world knowing that people know, and you're not ashamed when they say, well, that guy, that girl right there is a believer. That person right there is a so-called Christian. It's okay. You should want those kind of comments because the radiance of God is shining off of you and into your surrounding areas because God wants them also. But the veil has to drop. But the veil is up between so many people. In chapter 4, he moves along and he's beginning to say, yeah. He says this whole veil is about this gospel thing. It's this gospel. You hear it and some people say, they don't want it. They don't want it. So the veil remains there. What's very scary and very heartbreaking is, well, the awesome part is that people can come to Christ. I love that. People come to Christ. The sad part of it is that it does divide a line. That on one side of the veil, there's a lot of people coming to Christ, and it's awesome, and it's amazing, and it's amazing. And on the other side of the veil, there are family members. Friends. And we need not stop praying for our family who are on the other side of the veil. In chapter 4, verse 3, he moves on and he says, even if our gospel is veiled, what he's saying is it's veiled. Nobody wants to see it. Nobody wants to hear it. Nobody wants to listen to it. He says this, even if it is veiled to those who are perishing. Those who are not going to be with God forever. Those who are not going to see Jesus' face. Those who are not going into glory, but going into condemnation. Listen, if I just preach to you and tell you all the good things about God, listen, then I'm not the preacher that God's called me and wants me to be. There is a hell and there are people that are going. That's just a fact, not my words, but of God's word. And how is this going? Why is it veiled to those who don't believe? Why does people don't want? Listen, here it is. Here it is. The God. That's a little g in your Bible. If it's a big G, you got the wrong kind of translation. This is the big G. This is God. There's only one God. Amen? But there's a lot of little g gods, right? There's only one God. And this is the little g. The God of this age has blinded the minds of unbelievers, so they cannot see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. What he's saying is the demonic world, Satan and his army there, he's the god of this age, that there is someone talking, there's someone talking where they can see each other, but the veil is not down, but the gospel is beginning to penetrate. There's somebody sharing the gospel. You see, if I hold this up, you can still see just a little bit. You can just see some outline. I can see some of you. I know who some of you are, but some of them I don't. And I think when we hear the gospel, we're hearing some of that. We're watching someone's testimony. We can see, the lost can see a little bit what's going on over there. But what the dark side does is they pull back as we get closer to it. As I can get closer to this, I can begin to see more, but I'm still looking through a filtered piece. I'm not on the other side, but I come up close and I'm looking. But what the dark side does, Satan begins to pull on those arms and shoulders saying, come on, get back here. You don't want to go over there. Look what you're going to be leaving. Those people aren't having any fun. You don't want to be one of those Jesus weirdos. Come on, you don't want to give up your Sundays, do you? You don't want to give up your Sundays. You don't want to do all that stuff. Why do you want to marry that guy? Just because, why are they all? I just stay over here. Stay over here. And the Bible says the God of this age blinds the minds of unbelievers. Jesus is trying to pull us from one side to the other, and he does it first with the gospel. Because that's the first piece. You don't get the rest unless you do it God's way. Satan continues to pull us back. Doesn't want the lost to be. Doesn't want lost people saved. So he blinds the minds of unbelievers so they cannot see the light of the gospel, the glory of Christ. Because he's concerned that somebody just might get saved. I want to tell you there was a day that I know of where Satan had a big loss, and that was the day I got saved. And I hope there was a day that he got a big loss the day you got saved. And now you're on the other side of the veil, and you should be living your life that people continue as you walk around, that you're not hiding it, as some people are ashamed of the gospel. Some people don't want to talk about Jesus, so they put that veil and they want to be among, they want to keep going back and they want to just do life, and they just get themselves in trouble as a believer all the time. But we should be letting that light shine, for we do not preach ourselves, but Jesus Christ our Lord, and ourselves as your servants for Christ, Jesus Christ. For God, who said, "Let light shine out of darkness," made his light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge, here we go, of that word again, of the glory of God in the face of Christ. That's awesome. You know what God's doing? He's pulling man closer and closer to him. And as God pulls us closer and closer to him, that first step is receiving Christ and filling you with the Holy Spirit, because you can't take God, just like Moses really couldn't take him either. At that moment, there's moments, and so we, because even God said, "You can't look at my face, you cannot look at my face, but I'll let you look at my backside." This is what's amazing. Listen, I have not seen God's backside, but I've seen God's work. You've seen God do things in your life and around you that you know it was only of God's. God's letting you see things, but the world don't get it. They don't see it, but you do. But there's going to come a time where he's going to show his glory, but that's when you're going to be perfected. We're not perfected yet, but God is working with us, and God allows us through his mercy and grace that his glory can still shine out of us and off of us and radiate into this dark world. Listen, this every church in America should be full, because that's how many people claim to be Christians. But it's not happening. It's not happening. And so we need to let the light shine out of God uses us to let it shine out of darkness. And then he says in verse 16, "Therefore we do not lose heart." We can't lose heart. I think it's hard sometimes being a Christian. "Though outwardly we are wasting away." This is the cool part. I'm getting older. You're getting older. We started this thing. I was a lot younger. And so were you. "We are wasting away. My body is falling apart, just like yours. Some of you faster than others. I'm faster than others at times. But our body is falling apart. Outwardly, we are falling apart. We are wasting away. Yet, inwardly, in that spirit, we are being renewed day by day." You know who does that? That's the Holy Spirit. You ever have a bad day and you go pray and God recharges your inner, your kind of like your spiritual batteries, you're kind of recharged up? Listen, I don't need a drink to recharge. I don't need a hit to recharge. I don't need to go look at something I'm not supposed to. I don't need to go to pornography to recharge. I don't need to go find some counselor that's telling me that these things. No, I can be recharged on a daily basis by Jesus Christ and his Holy Spirit. I don't need worldly counsel. Biblical counseling, but not worldly counsel. And God renews us day by day. Listen, I want you to hear me real quick. If you don't take anything today, I want you to hear this. If God loved you so much that he gave his only son, that his son came and died for you, and then you receive Christ, do you not think he's concerned about you and the rest of your life here on earth? That he will not get involved with your life? If he did all those things prior for you and died for you and resurrected for you and allowed you to come to the gospel, remove the veil, you asked him in your heart, he came in, you think he's done? If he was done, he'd just call us all up to glory. He wants that light to shine for the next person. Because it's not all about me, and it's not all about you. There's others. There's others that need to come to Christ where the veil is. Because if anyone knows so precious how much the gospel means, really, it's not truly the sinner that truly knows, even though he may know, even in our time of salvation. It is that God knows. God knows future. God knows where hell is. God knows all things, and he does not want you to be separated from him, but to come to him together. But he says you can be renewed day by day, for our light, here we go now, as a Christian, life gets tough, for our light and momentary troubles. I have momentary troubles. I like the way that said that. Momentary troubles. They're not everlasting troubles. As sometimes we think they are. They're moments. momentary troubles, they are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. God's bigger than our troubles. Why is God bigger than our troubles? Because I'm on the right side of the veil. I don't just receive the blessings of the morning sun on my face or the dew of the rain that all receive because of God's creation. But we receive the blessings because now once we come across and the veil is dropped, we are able to walk into a relationship with Jesus Christ. We become adopted into the sons and to the family of Christ. We grow up and we become babies. We grow up and we become, get off that spiritual food and that milk and get onto some solid food. We become ambassadors for Jesus Christ, soldiers for the Christ and for His Word. We get out there in front and we keep serving. We keep working to dusk to dawn. We keep doing these things and we grow old and then we pass away and then they receive us with a great celebration. Family member coming home. Family member coming home. Family member coming home. Enter into an area, to the area that we see just glimpses and revelations where there is no sun. God's glory is the light. We get to be a part of that and be able to worship God in the way that we're supposed to see His glory, to see those lost, or to see those loved ones that went on before us who knew Christ. And we'll get to see them again. Because this is an everlasting thing, not a momentary decision-making thing. This is an everlasting decision that an individual make. But the darkness, the Bible says that the God of this age blinds the hearts of the unbeliever because he knows how precious and how awesome and how amazing God's gift of the gospel is. It is the story of Jesus Christ and redeeming lives lost. There's a scripture that tells us that there's a moment where every tear will be wiped away. And I'm just wondering sometimes, is that where we get to be pulled away as we begin to see farther and farther separation? The last look of loved ones that are going not to Jesus, but going to hell. And if you want to call that Baptist preaching, it's not Baptist preaching. It's just Bible preaching that people are afraid to preach. Because I've got family members that are separated from God today. Unless God did some miraculous miracle in their life when I walked away, by their own words, they're in hell. And the Bible says, so awesome. Because how can you have peace in heaven when you know you got loved ones in hell? The Bible says He'll wipe away every tear. And I believe that He'll let us forget them. Even Jesus, when His Mary and His brothers were all wanting to get to Him, and He's in the house and He's teaching, and it was crowded. You ever have a prayer service in a house that was so crowded that people outside couldn't even get in? They pass the word in there. The individual says, Jesus, your mom and your brothers are out there. They want you. And your family wants you. And the scripture says, Jesus says, this is my mother. This is my family. Isn't it? He didn't love them. It was an intimate moment when Jesus was on the cross about Mary. It wasn't that He didn't love them. He was telling us that His family is bigger than those who are our bloodline. Family is those who have Christ. The veil is real. The veil is real. But also know that I walk on top of it now. It's not in front of me. But for some, many live in a veiled world. But you don't have to. That's why we have Christmas. That's why we have Easter. Jesus came humbly here that the veil may be removed. I remember the day that the veil was removed in my life. I pray that you remember the day that the veil was removed in your life. If it hasn't, I'm going to share with you in a moment. We're going to go ahead and you can come down and I can tell you and share with you how to come to a relationship with Christ. But I also think some of us are walking around and we kind of look like the lost. We're not, but we kind of look like the lost because there's no radiance of Jesus coming off of us. If there's no radiance of Jesus coming off of us, where's the evidence that you're saved? But praise God, God knows who's saved. But I ought to know that you're saved, and you ought to know that I'm saved by the way we talk, by the way we act. That our spirits connect because of the Holy Spirit. So the veil remains until you ask Christ to come into your life. The veil drops, and then the relationship begins. Father, as we move into this moment of reflection and some may be decision-making, I pray, Father, that your Spirit would be upon them and each one of us, that your will may be done. It's in Christ's name, amen. Let's go ahead and stand, and we'll have a moment, opportunity to come, if you want to come and pray. You know, sometimes the veil is on the ground, but sometimes we pick the veil up. It's not about salvation. It's about we just try to want to block because.